The 11th story, A Dream by the Wayside. Jacob, banished from his home and friends, had a long and lonely journey. 400 miles stretched between Beersheba and Haran. He must have taken many weeks to reach his uncle's home, even if he rode on some animal's back a part or all of the way. After a certain day's travel and when night was coming on, he arrived at the old town of Luz. The sun had already set, and he decided to rest for the night in one of the fields. It was a rocky place with terraces of stones nearby. Jacob took one of the loose stones and put it under his head and lay down to sleep. This was not an unusual thing to do in that country. Often a traveler might be seen with a stone for a pillow and the hard earth for a bed. As Jacob looked up to the stars, he felt lonely and homesick. He regretted the wrong that he had done, and he wondered now what was before him. At last, weary with the travel of the day, he fell asleep. While he slept, he had a strange dream. There appeared to him a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens, and the messengers of God were ascending and descending on it. As he was watching these angels going up and down, he heard a voice, and Jehovah stood beside him. He listened, and these were some of the words he heard. I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. When Jacob really waked from his sleep, he said to himself, Surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. Then he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put under his head and set it up for a pillar and anointed it with oil. This was a common custom as a token of God's presence and was also a reminder of him to passers-by. It was to many people a symbol of God's Spirit, and so was sacred in the eyes of all who understood its meaning. Jacob called the place Bethel, and by this name it has been known ever since as a famous sanctuary. Bethel means house of God, and the town itself came to be called by the same name. To the southeast of Bethel, we find today one of the great viewpoints of Canaan, a place from which much might be seen. On this point, a tower is built to mark the place where it is believed Abraham put up his tent and altar, and Lot had his view of the Jordan. Perhaps Jacob had heard of what Abraham and Lot had done there, and this led him to stop on his way north. Perhaps he placed his stone near the altar his grandfather had set up, or on one of the neighboring slopes where there is a curious formation of rocks. Sacred stones have been found beside many altars throughout Canaan. At first they were set up in a rough, natural form. In later times they were carved into pillars of some beauty. The old monumental stones at Stonehenge in England, at Karnak in Brittany, and at other places show how this custom continued and spread to other countries. It was the beginning of the building of monuments and the dedication of buildings for the worship of God. As Jacob lingered, the vision of the night grew more beautiful to him. It gave him new hope, and he was determined to do better. Standing there by the stone in the freshness of the morning, he made a vow or a solemn promise. He said, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, and Jehovah will be my God, then this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This is the first story we have of a man's giving a certain proportion of his property for an offering of sacrifice or benevolence, a gift to God, or a gift to him and to his children. Someone, in days long after, heard of the dream by the wayside which Jacob dreamed, and wrote these beautiful verses. Though like a wanderer the sun goes down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Jacob went on his journey over hill and valley and across the desert till he came to the land of the children of the east and the home of his forefathers. As he came to a certain field at the end of his journey, he saw a well and three flocks of sheep lying near it. The men caring for the flocks had brought them there to water them. There was a great stone over the well's mouth, and they had to roll it back before the sheep could drink. As they came forward to do this, Jacob asked the men from whence they had come. They told him they belonged to Haran. "Do you," said he, "know Laban, the son of Nahor?" "Yes," they answered, "we know him." Jacob then asked whether it was well with him, and they said it was. They added, "Indeed, Rachel, his daughter, is coming now with the sheep." Jacob turned, and in the distance he saw a young and beautiful girl with her crook over her shoulder coming across the field with a flock of sheep behind her. She was a shepherdess and took care of her father's flocks. Jacob said to his companions, "The sun is still high. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered. Water the sheep and go and feed them." The men answered, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." While he was speaking with them, Rachel came down to the well. As soon as Jacob saw his cousin Rachel, he was overjoyed and wept. He told her he was Rebekah's son and kissed her. They chatted by the well while he watered the flock for her. She then ran home and told her father Laban, whom she had met. When Laban heard the tidings about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and kissed him and brought him to his house. There were many questions to be asked and answered, and Jacob told Laban many things about the family and home in Canaan. He stayed with him for about a month, helping about with the household affairs. Then Laban said, "Because thou art my kinsman, shouldst thou serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" Now Jacob had grown to love Rachel, for she was very beautiful, and so he said, "I will serve the 7 years if thou wilt give me thy younger daughter Rachel for my wife." And Laban agreed. In the East, a man often works in return for his bride, instead of making her a large gift at the time of marriage. So for 7 years, Jacob worked for Laban that he might win Rachel for his wife. His love for her was so strong that even this was not too much for him to do. At the end of the 7 years, Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for I have worked the time agreed upon." So Laban gathered together the men of the neighborhood and held the marriage feast. Then he played a mean trick and deceived Jacob. Rachel had an elder sister named Leah, and it was thought necessary for the eldest daughter to be married first. It was the custom in that country for the father to send the bride to the home of the bridegroom, and Laban sent Leah instead of Rachel. When Jacob saw that the older sister had been given to him instead of the younger, he said to Laban, "Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Why then hast thou deceived me?" Laban answered, "Because it is not so done in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. It is often customary to have the wedding festivities continue for a week or more." So Laban added, "Let it be for a week as it is. Then thou shalt have Rachel also, if thou wilt serve me another 7 years." In this way, Jacob's own sin returned upon him. The deceiver was deceived, and he knew the pain and disappointment that deceit causes. The only thing left for him to do was to work for Laban 7 years more. At the end of the week, Rachel became Jacob's wife. But in the years to come, the home was not very happy, for Leah and Rachel were jealous of each other. Leah had several children, but Rachel did not have any child for many years. At last, a little one was given to her, and she named him Joseph. About this time, Jacob wished to return home, and he said to Laban, "Let me go to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee all these years." But Laban did not want him to go. He said he had been prepared and blessed by God since Jacob had been with him. So he asked him to stay and to name his wages, and he would pay them. Jacob did not want any wage, but asked to have for his own all the lambs of the flocks of unusual colors that should be born from that time on while he tended the sheep. Laban agreed. Jacob was clever enough to use all kinds of shepherd's tricks to make this arrangement profitable to himself. As the days went by, he grew rich. Laban's sons grew discontented and jealous of him. He overheard them talking against him, and he saw Laban was not pleased with him as he used to be. He listened to the voice of God telling him to return home, and the old promise, "I will be with thee," came again to him. So Jacob sent for his wives to meet him in the field. He said to them, "I see your father is not friendly with me as he was before. Ye know that I have served him with all my power, but he has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. All the same, God would not let him hurt me. For if Laban said, 'The speckled ones of the flock shall be thy wages,' then many speckled ones have been born. And if he said, 'The ring-streaked ones shall be thy wages,' then there have been many ring-streaked. Thus God has prospered me." Leah and Rachel consented to go. So while Laban was away at sheep shearing, they all made ready for the journey. Jacob feared that if Laban knew of their going, he might try in some way to prevent it. He had the camels brought out for his wives and his sons to ride upon them. He gathered together his cattle and all that he had gained during the years of his stay in Haran and started for Canaan. A great company of men went with him. Evidently, Jacob was the leader of one of the migrations from the north of which history tells. He crossed the river Euphrates and set out in the direction of Mount Gilead. What a different journey it was from the one he made 20 years before. Then he had come alone and empty-handed. Now he had his wives and 11 children with him, and much substance in the way of herds and flocks. He had also riches of gold and silver to take back. Jacob's life in Haran had been a mixture of good and bad. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," had been true for him. He himself was a great mixture, selfish, scheming, and crafty. He was also faithful and devoted. At times he wished for the best things and truly worshipped God. But in Laban's family there was still some idolatry, for on leaving the old home, Rachel stole the teraphim, which were her father's. The teraphim were the household gods, little images before which the people of that old country worshipped. They believed that with these in the house they would be prospered. Rachel wanted them with her for protection as she went out into a new home. She secretly packed them up, and nobody knew anything about it. And so the journey began. Jacob and his family and all his caravan had gone some distance before Laban found out that they had left. When he returned home, he discovered that his household gods had been taken. At once he said, "I will go after them and pay them back for what they have done." And he started out in hot haste to pursue them. Our next story will tell of both journeys and of how Laban and Jacob met.